Amen. Don't you love seeing those kids go to a children's church? Amen. You know that's how we're going to be in the kingdom of God? Do you know that? We'll be jumping off God's throne, high-fiving each other. And you know what? God's not going to go, how dare they jump off my throne? God's going to be giving us candy and high-fiving us. Do you know that? No, really. Do you know that? Because God is nothing like us. Yeah, God's more like me. Yeah, because God made me. Yeah, and you have to deal with that. Because the kingdom of God is going to be a party. Rylan, I love you. Whew. But it's your fault that I'm hoarse. Because I'm over there just, man, I'm yelling. Thank you. Guys, seriously. Seriously, thank you, Rylan. And I know that makes you mad because it's not about you. I know that. But there is no one higher than our God. Home is where the heart is. I mean, if I could sum it up, and by the way, Pastor God, I was figuring out, down the road, give me one more Sunday so I can talk about Easter Sunday, what you and I are talking about. Down the road, give me that one so I can talk about. That's a whole nother message. But home is where the heart is. And if I could sum up my sabbatical experience, it would be that. In fact, what's funny is the responses I've gotten since I've been back. The very first response was, so when you leaving? I went, well, I just got back. No, I mean, when are you quitting and going to go find your real ministry and your real job? What? Well, when people take sabbaticals, they come back and they usually quit their church and go do some other different kind of ministry. I'm not late. Now, to some of you chagrin, I'm not leaving. Pastor Scott was like, I'm not leaving. The other responses have been, in fact, even last night, someone came up and went, so what is new? What has God shown you that's new? And I went, nothing. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun, right? There's no new revelation. I mean, there's nothing else. Oh, cool map. No, I'm kidding. Okay. There's reminders. Reminders. The other one has been, are you refreshed? No, but I'm fresh, right? Okay, I'm kidding. I'm joking, all right? They get it. You'll go home about an hour and a half after church and go, he's just ornery. Three things. Number one, there's no place like home. There's really not. There's no place like home. In fact, the Word of God says in 1 Chronicles 16:43, all the people returned to their homes, and David turned and went home to bless his own family. It's amazing that I had to take 2 months off to realize I wanted to be home. Actually, the second week I was gone by myself in Houston, Galveston area, I realized I wanted to be home. Let me tell you about the first week. I got to be with my lovely wife and reconnect with my wife. The greatest thing about the sabbatical, by the way, thank you, Central Baptist personnel, and especially Pastor Scott, for giving me 2 months off just to reconnect with my wife. And I guess my children. Eh. But thank you so much. I'm kidding. I love my children. Can't wait till they all leave. But the most important thing is my wife. Precious. We planned a getaway during the first part of my sabbatical, the very first part. We were going to go to the land that is so beautiful and wonderful, Branson. Now, do you remember what happened in the first week of March? Exactly. We had our little timeshare, our little getaway, and they had no electricity. The ice storm. No problem. We have insurance. So we thought, let's go to Hot Springs. It even says hot. We booked it, had it planned. We went to see our middle daughter, Molly, and Ada first. Went to a church in Trinity Baptist. Shout out, Trinity. Holla. We go to Trinity Baptist Church in a blizzard. So we thought, let's just jump on Highway 3. Anybody ever been on Highway 3 between Ada and Hot Springs? It's a blizzard. Kendra's car's about that far off the ground. We actually did get stuck, didn't we, for a little bit, because a semi was stuck on Highway 3. Highway 3 is two lanes. Well, the bad news is we didn't make it to Hot Springs because they were iced in. We made it to the great, wonderful, beautiful resort city of Antlers. Antlers. Oklahoma. Not Florida. Not California. Antlers, Oklahoma. Give me a shout out for Antlers, Oklahoma. Yeah, no, don't ever do that again. There was one decent hotel we found it. The first day, we were there a couple of days, stuck. First day, there was a bunch of highwaymen there from all over the place, and they were, you know, different. And they left. That left my wife and I, my lovely wife Kendra and I, with the people that own it. That's it. She kept thinking it was going to be like The Shining. If you don't know that, Google it when you get home. Rad Rod. To entertain ourselves, it was two stories. We walked the hallways, first floor, second floor, first floor, second floor, first floor, second floor, just to get exercise. The good news is, after the second day, they cleared one of the turnpikes to get us all the way to Hugo. We had lunch at Hugo and then went back to Antlers. That was our vacation. But you know what? It was a great, it was the best time we ever had. We reconnected, and the best part of my sabbatical was spending time with my wife and reconnecting. You see, because in the ministry, it happens sometimes. Our staff can tell you, we tend to not take care of our family. We take care of everybody else's family and everyone else, but neglect our family. And because of the time that my wife and I spent and reconnected, and I had to admit, I did not take care of my wife for a few years. And I was burned out, to be honest with you. Maybe the man I talked to at first said, "Where are you going? You quitting? What are you doing?" Maybe he was right, because before the sabbatical, I think that may have been true, that I was done. But to spend the time with my wife and my children and get to go to Aiden, spend time with Molly, God began to restore my heart for my family. There's no place like home. The second part of that is there's no place like home. My wife and I got to go to churches and spend time in churches, and I didn't have to go put buckets under leaks with Pappy. I didn't have to spend time talking to everybody, putting out fires. I didn't have to spend time. And let me tell you something, that's part of my job that I love. But I actually got to walk with my wife into churches and sit and worship. And walk out of churches and not have to lock up. Turn the light off. Be the last one. We got to leave when there were like a multitude of cars still in the parking lot. That's a blessing. No one stopped me in the parking lot. And I could be with my wife and we would go out and eat. We also got to spend time going to churches where students of mine in the past were ministers in the churches. I said in the first service, I'm going to say it again. I don't know which one's going to make it on the air. But we got to go to First Baptist Tulsa downtown, where the associate pastor is a former student of mine. He's a doctor of Greek. Back when he was a student, he was an idiot. So, Eric, I hope you listen to this. I love you. We got to go to churches and be with people. The Plums, we got to be with the Plums. Dr. Glenn and his son John. And John's the pastor, senior pastor, and his dad works for him. And that was fun to make fun of them. Glenn, how's it taking orders from your son? He didn't say a word. It was great to be with my wife and the other churches. But while, I promise you, while I was at those other churches, I thought of home. Because there's no place like home. All the people returned to their homes, and David turned and went to his home and blessed his own family. I did think of you. Even yesterday, even though I'm back on sabbatical, Mike Maxwell and I went to a refreshing of our disaster relief chaplain training. I sat next to an 80-year-old woman named Lois, and we had the best time. Mike was like, "Is there not anyone that's a stranger to you?" We talked the whole time, even during class. I know that shocks you that I would talk during class. And I got to hear her story, which was heartbreaking. Pastor, she lost a child to drugs and alcohol. And as we visited, when we left, Mike and I left early, because we can. And she just hugged me and she said, "I'm so glad to meet you." You know what I thought of? I thought of my senior adults and how I want to learn how to be a better senior adult pastor, because this woman just leaned on me and I realized that senior adults, we need to lean on each other. There's no place like home. But then thinking about there's no place like home, the Father taught me something even more extraordinary, that this is not our home. This is not our home. Listen to these verses, Philippians 3:20. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. Citizens of heaven. Some translations say, but our citizenship is in heaven. And then as you see on the screen, 1 Peter 2:11, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that war against your very soul. This is the verse, 1 Peter 2:11, that talks about how we're aliens and strangers just visiting here. I'm a sci-fi nut. I love the word aliens. I mean, look at me. Many of you always look at me like I am an alien. I love that. We are aliens. We're just visiting here. This is not our home. Let me explain how the Father brought this to light to me. Allow me to go there. March 27th. I was in Galveston, Texas with my friend Jerry. Many of you in here have prayed for Jerry. He's actually from Pasadena, right next to Houston. But he's a Galvestonite. Galvestonite is what they call themselves. And they're not Texans. They're from Galveston. You talk about aliens, go to Galveston. Jerry had tongue cancer, tongue and throat cancer. He's a music minister. Actually, he's not a music minister anymore because of what has happened to his voice and his throat. And many times in Jerry's treatment, especially one time in particular, we thought we were going to lose Jerry. And Jerry now talks with a rough, coarse voice, and he can't sing. So can you imagine Rylan, a music minister, who cannot sing? Jerry has told me, though, that he's learned you don't have to sing to praise the Lord. Amen? So I'm with my buddy Jerry, and it's the first time I've been around him since he's, quote-unquote, in remission. He says, I don't even know what that means anymore. But there was one time we almost lost him. So I'd actually been down to see him during treatment. Now I'm with him after treatment. So we're in Galveston at his beach house. Don't worry, it's not that impressive. But he gave me the bedroom, and he's sleeping on the couch because that's Jerry. He's stubborn, like a lot of you in here. I said, Jerry, come on. And I even pulled the C card. Jerry, you had cancer. And he said, that's why I'm taking the couch. And I said, yes, sir. He's older than me. So I'm on the bed. I'm laying there. 4:30 in the morning, I wake up. Now, those of you that know me, I don't wake up till really, honestly, what, 10 o'clock? I'm here at 8:30, and I don't wake up till 10, right? People come in my office before then, I just do this. I mean, I could give him power of attorney, I wouldn't even know. Seriously. 4:30, wide awake. And I sit up in bed, just straight up. And I'm looking around, and, you know, it's one of those wake-ups where you don't know where you are. And Father says this to me, and it was so loud, it's like I'm talking to you, yet it's inside my soul. Those of you that walk with the Lord know what I'm talking about, right? So loud, he says this. Get your stuff, pack up, and go home. Now understand, this is a good 2 days before I'm supposed to be back in Owosso. Pack your stuff, come home. Today I'm bringing Kelly home, Kelly Flint. I've never really had a moment like this. I can tell you of impressions, I can tell you feelings, but I have not had this moment before. I shook it off. I got up, went to the restroom, came back, and I look in. Jerry's snoring away. I go back into my room. I lay down, and I just lay there looking up at the ceiling because I'm not sure what this is. About 6:30, my phone text rumbles, and I look, and it's Dr. Charlie Cruz, and he has sent a thread to all the staff. They had a meeting that day, and he couldn't make it to our men's breakfast that morning. Remember, men, at that morning, John Plum had spoke to our men, and he couldn't make it. We'd asked him to speak, and he had another meeting. He was saying he was praying for our men, sorry he couldn't make it. So I had texted him back, and he said, oh my goodness, what are you doing up? I shared a couple things with him. We were teasing back and forth, and I said, remember Kelly this day. I did not tell him what Father had spoken to me. I rest my head back down again. get up, get ready. You need to come back to Owosso. Today I'm bringing Kelly home. I stir up, and because of Jerry, all the things his body has been through, he sleeps late and needs a lot of sleep, so I didn't want to disturb him. So I did. I got everything ready, put it in the hallway, and then I went and sat in a chair looking at Jerry like this. Sunflower seeds. Jerry finally kind of arouses. I tell him what the father had said. And he said, we better get going. The problem was we were in Galveston, the downtown Galveston. I had clipped my tire on a curb, put a hole like that. Getting anything done in Galveston is just horrible. They're still not totally recovered. And so it'd be a few hours, which allowed me time with Jerry, because that's the whole purpose of this trip. So we knew it'd be a while. I went back into my room just to sit and collect myself while he was getting ready. And I told the father, I don't want to see Kelly like this. I don't want, because Kendra had been there the night before and that morning. And I said, I don't want to see Kelly like this. Folks, the Lord said to me, Father said, you won't. 15 minutes later, Kendra texts me, she had died. Now the Father has my attention, you understand? And it was late until we get the tire fixed, and I had to go back to Pasadena to pick up the rest of my stuff because I was going to be there 2 more days. And I began that journey back. So I'm in the car. Of course, I had to go through downtown Houston at 4. Anyone been there? It's a blessing. What someone told us yesterday, to go through downtown Houston, a 10-mile jaunt takes an hour and a half. How about 2? So number one, I'm praying. And to be honest, I'm grieving. That was my grief time. And the Father is telling me, oh, let me tell you what Jerry said. That's the most important part. I told first service this. I don't want to forget this part. I tell Jerry that she had passed, and he's still laying on the couch. He got ready, but he's still weak. And he just does this. She's free, and she's flying. Because who better to know than a man that almost went home? Amen? She's flying. I began to drive home. The Father began to tell me, number one, he's already spoke to me that there's no place like home. But the Father told me, son, she's home. 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 And I don't want to share too much because it's between the family and the staff, the family and friends, the family and myself. But a couple of things without breaking too much confidence. But one thing Matt said that has ringed in my heart, even recently we talked last Sunday. Matt said, he misses her, of course, but that he knows she's home. And Amber, without breaking confidence, the thing I love that you said the most, no more tumors. Because see, when God brings us home, he touches us. And, you know, Kelly would hate this. Oh, you know, I know when I get to heaven, she's going to slap me around and kick me and boss me like she always did. She'll be upset about this because it's not about her. And thank you for the text, Amber. It's not about Kelly. Y'all understand this? That none of this is about her and none of this is about me and none of this is about Matt or Amber or Corey. None of this. It's about what Father does. Through Jesus Christ, which we're going to talk about in a minute, through Jesus Christ, it's about home. Home is where the heart is. And for that gal, all she had been through was a release. Because Jesus Christ was her Savior. And it was home. And for my dad, 4 or 5 years ago, what had entered his body and was destroying his body, it was homecoming. And as hard as that was for me at the time, and my mom's here, and bless her heart, for what we went through of losing our earthly rock, get me? Our earthly buffer, our hero, it was a homecoming. For you who you have lost, they knew Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's not our home. We're aliens and strangers just visiting this planet. Now, our job, we'll talk about this, our job is to bring more people into the family. This is not our home. So, for someone who was, oh my goodness, as vibrant and lively as Kelly, one thing Matt said to me too was, I would not bring her back. Why? She has home. And her job was done. And for me, driving home when I hit Dallas, again at another worst time of traffic, the Father said, I gave her a new body. And what he said in my spirit was this, and I do pretty good at that job. And for those that believe in me, it's what I do. And you can't understand it because you have this thing. Of course, I'm looking going, if I get a new body, sweet. So, there's no place like home. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. By the way, I'm not going to jump in front of a Mack truck and go, take me. But this is good. I heard a man say, Dr. Smith, he said this, though. For us, born-again believers, those who trust Jesus Christ and Christ alone, which we'll talk about in a minute, this is our hell. For lost people, this is their heaven. So, I'm glad to be home here. We should be glad to be around each other, amen? Because our job is to lift one another up, take care of one another. But this is not our home. So, when we think of home, when I think of home, look at this. John 14, 1 through 7. Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, why would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way where I'm going. Stop there. You know the way where I'm going. Now, this is where I've always stopped when I've done funerals for the believers that go home. For the saints that go home, I always stop here. Then we talk about, first of all, of course, Jesus Christ says, trust God, you can also trust in me. Basically, he's saying, I'm not lying. And we know that, amen? We know that Jesus Christ is not a liar. And he promises us this, that he's preparing a place for us. And when our place is done, he makes the promise that he will come and get us and take us, and we will live with him forever. Notice that last line, though, right there. And you know the way where I'm going. What we don't talk about, and I don't, and in fact we talked about this at Kelly's family service, what I have never went is to the next part. You all are great biblical scholars, you probably know this, what Thomas said. Let's go to the next slide. Thomas says, no, we don't know, Lord. Thomas said, we have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? Stop there. This passage of scripture I actually was studying and looking at and devouring when I was in the monastery. This has been the big topic of discussion since I've been gone, I've heard. Rev Kev at a monastery? Number one, how is he going to keep his big mouth shut? Oh, don't laugh. I know you were. The good news is I could talk to the fathers at the monastery. I couldn't talk to the monks. The funny thing was, during the meal, you couldn't say a word to anybody. So I know this was the big joke. Now, I will gladly tell you those stories later, and trust me, I have a ton of them. But on Good Friday, after Maud Thursday, I was at a 2.5-hour mass. It was in Latin, but they let me cheat. They gave me a book, Latin on this side, English on this side. It still didn't help. They sing everything, and you kind of get into a rhythm. But the beautiful thing about Maud Thursday was they had the feet washing celebration, and that was, I was amazing. I was so humbled. But wake up the next day, Good Friday, I went and began to read on, and this was the passage of Scripture I read. And I got to the part of Thomas. Next thing I know, I had read for 45 minutes, and it went by like that, just devouring. So I read this, and here's what the Father was speaking to me about. Here's Thomas. Jesus has just said these things. He just said, and you know the way where I'm going. And then we get to Thomas saying, no, Lord, we don't know. We got no idea where you're going. How can we know the way? Then, go to the next slide. Then we see Jesus Christ saying a passage we've all heard. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had, here we go, really known me, you would know who my Father is. But watch what he says here. From now on, you do know him, and you've seen him. There's so much theological meat in here, so many things to talk about, but I'm going to talk about the simple part for what the Father really showed me in this moment. I'm imagining Jesus and Thomas having this discussion, yet Jesus is talking to us here in the future and future believers down the road, but also he's still talking to Thomas. In a sense, you think he's chastising. I don't. I don't think he's chastising Thomas, nor do I think he's chastising us. I think it's a plea. Thomas, if you'd have really known me, if you'd really spent time with me, you would know exactly where I'm going. I've been telling you this for how long? You have broke bread with me. You've spent time with me. We have laughed together. We have cried together. I've poured my heart out to you, Thomas. But then he comes back and says, but now you know. You're going to know the rest of your life. You have seen the Father. You've seen me. You've seen the Father. Now, flash forward to here I am. By the way, I'm in this monastery room. It's one bed, one desk. I told first service this, in a chair I thought would break the second I sat on it. Good news, it held up. And I'm reading this, and I'm sitting by the window that overlooks the back of the monastery and this hill, and there's sheep over here grazing. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And I'm just caught in the moment. I'm reading it, and I'm reading it. I'm thinking, okay, Jesus is saying, Thomas, do you not get this? I and the Father are one. No one comes to me, no one comes to Creator God like we were singing about. No one comes to Creator God but through me. And then I flash forward to me. And I'm like, well, Jesus, I know you. And then this line hits me. But you're spending time with me. What? If you walk in the Spirit, you won't obey the deeds of the flesh. And I'm thinking about burned out, and I'm thinking about all these things. I'm thinking about some of the struggles I've had in my heart. And then this happens. It says, from now on, you do know him and you've seen him. And I'm going through all this, and I'm, Lord, what are you trying to say to me? And this is what happens. As, again, that voice that happened to me March 27th comes through, and it says this, son, I sent my boy to die for you because all I want is you. What? I just go numb. I just go numb. I'm holding my Bible. I'm looking out into this field, and I just put my Bible on the windowsill, and I just do this. Like everything goes cold. Now, I know you may be sitting there going, saying, well, that's not theology. Don't care about your theology. Don't care about your doctrine. The Father is speaking to his son. Amen? Well, I can't wrap that up neat. Good. Because somehow God always likes to unwrap my neatness. I just absorb this, and I'm thinking of Thomas. I'm thinking what Jesus is trying to tell him. And then I fast forward to where I'm at. I leave, and I head to that little hillside. And you'll like this, because only I could do this. The hillside had a road that goes like this. It took me like 45 minutes. There was another road that goes like this. It takes five. Always take the road less traveled by. But it makes all the difference. I get up there. It's a cattle field. No cows. Evidence of cows, if you get my drift. No cows. It was appropriate, Scott, that I'm dealing with the leftovers than dealing with the animals. It was like God saying, get over the poo-poo and deal with me. And God says again, I'd see the Abbey down there, and God says again, Kevin, listen to me. All I want is you. I don't want your works. I don't want your ministry. Are you listening? I don't want what you try to do in my name. I want you. Spend time with me. Because when you spend time with me, you'll know me. It's not about losing your salvation. It's about growing closer to the one who gave me salvation. Amen? And by now I've lost it. You guys know me, I'm losing it. Now I take the shortcut, by the way. I go back. And I realize God took me on the long path for a reason, to break me. And why? Why? Because he loves me. Okay, here's the bottom line. This is called Home is Where Your Heart Is. I felt homeless for a couple of years. I felt spiritually homeless. I lost my, okay, cliche time. I lost my way. I didn't lose my salvation. I lost my way. I can't lie. My wife's over there. She'll tell you. I mean, my mom's there. She can probably tell you. I lost my way. I felt homeless. Don't raise your hand, but you know what I'm talking about? Come on, let's get real. I felt homeless. Maybe I felt a little, maybe prodigal son-ish. Is that proper grammar? Amber, you know. Probably not. You can get your red pen out later. There's no place like home. It's not our home. And when I think of home, then why do we hang on to stuff? I was teasing the first service. I said, come to my office, walk down this hallway, turn in and turn left, and you'll see a display cabinet you all know that have been in there, and it's full of what? Stuff. There's some sentimental stuff in there. They're already laughing over here. There's some sentimental stuff. My dad's first ball glove, big deal. It's going to burn up someday. I got football signed by my sports heroes. I got baseball signed by my sports heroes. Who cares? Matt, I was telling first, or some of you in there, I was telling Matt always teases me about what? Art of the deal. It's always about the art of the deal. How much more stuff can I get? And then I shine it up real shiny. You know, I look at it. Then I put it away and forget where I put it. Or what do? I trade it off for what? More stuff. And we hang on to this stuff. Oh, got my stuff. And it's not our home. And he's building a place for us. And when it's done, he's going to come get us and take us home to be with him. Why? Because that is our home. For those of us who cross over the cross of Jesus Christ and become his children. So, for those of you today that are like me, and you feel homeless but you're not, maybe you're being more of a prodigal son. Maybe you're just running from God. You know he loves you. Why don't you try loving him back? What was that song? Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Well, love him back. Quit being homeless. You're not. It's just, this isn't your home. And for those of you today, though, that truly are homeless, you truly are homeless because he doesn't know you. Oh, he may have numbered the hairs on your head, but he doesn't know you because he didn't own you. And today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day of your salvation. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? He has bought your price. He has paid it. And he rose from the dead 3 days later to give you the gift of eternal life. Today is the day of your salvation. Today you can no longer be homeless. You can have a home and a family. You can have your sins forgiven. Amen. It feels good to be forgiven. Would you all agree? Does it feel good to be forgiven? Remember what your life was like before. Does it feel good to be forgiven? Before March 27th, I was driving down to Houston. And I was listening to my iPhone through the radio. And I have a lot of old songs. Old songs. Brian Duncan. Anybody remember Brian Duncan? Wow, that is sad. Thank you, Lori. Rylan, that's sad. Do something about it, Rylan. Don't you love when everybody tells you what to do? Brian Duncan's song. It's going to be up on your screen. I'm going to ask Pastor Scott to make his way up here, but I want to read you this song. It's called When I Think of Home. On the way down, man, I wanted to read this to Kelly, but she already knows it anyway. She heard first service. She got it. She's probably looking at me going, yeah, dummy, I read it. I'm living it. It goes like this. There's a saying, your home is where your heart is. That's where I got that, by the way. Your home is where your heart is. My heart believes it's true. And my home's so far away, but the seasons and the scenery keep changing. So I make my home with you till I'm finally home to stay. When I think of home, when I'm tired and feeling homeless, I come to you. You're where my heart is. There are places on this journey I'll remember. Many faces are so dear. That's you guys. They can always bring a smile. But no matter where I am or where I'm going, in my heart, Lord, you're always near. You have made my life worthwhile. When I think of home, when I'm tired and feeling homeless, I come to you. You're where my heart is. When I think of home, when I'm tired and feeling homeless, I come to you. You're where my heart is. There's a saying, your home is where your heart is. My heart believes it's true. My heart believes it's true.